What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 20th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. No, I am so sorry, but I'm not going to talk about the Dodgers-Padres game today. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. Why? Because I'm not spoiling that game. I'm watching it at 3 p.m. in Williamsburg at the Other Half Brewery in at Domino Park. Go check it out. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to be there all day, and I'm also going to do it again tomorrow. So in order to preserve that recording of it and actually have fun watching it properly with everybody, I don't want to cover that game. Technically, it also happened on today, Wednesday. So that means I should be covering it on Thursday, right? Cool. Everyone's fine with that. I'm so sorry. You'll see all my coverage of that tomorrow. It's okay. You're not going to make any changes on your fantasy team based on that game. Anyway, okay. So, we have some news, of course, from yesterday. The biggest one, I would say, is Eduardo Rodriguez. Leaving his game early with tightness in his left lat. Terrible news for those that went after Eduardo Rodriguez. And one could say that the implications of this are more about the SP5 spot, but that's really Tommy Henry and Slade Cicconi, if you want to ask, you know, Slade Cicconi, which is a joke, and he's not serious. Bryce Jarvis, Blake Walston, Christian Mena, and Corbin Martin. None of those are anything that I would be chasing. However, it does change the first start of the year for Ryan Nelson. He was the SP5, and because it's a four-game series versus the Diamondbacks, I meant his first start was going to be the Yankees, followed by Atlanta. However, he's still going to get Atlanta, but the first one's now Rocky Road. And that's kind of interesting. He's hosting them in Arizona. I don't know how I feel. It is a Sunday game, which is nicer because if you're on a weekly league, that means you can get him for a Sunday start and then send him back because he's going to face Atlanta. On the other side of it, Rocky Road only exists because of Coors affecting the Rockies hitters. And then when they're out of that air, then the ball moves differently. And so they're used to Colorado's air and they're removed from it. But this is the first game of the year. They have not played in Coors yet. So Rocky Road, that phrase I use for saying, hey, cool, we want to start pitchers against the Colorado Rockies when they're not home, that doesn't really apply, does it? So I'm still a little bit hesitant here. I do like Ryan Nelson. I haven't seen him have that spring start that is just, oh my gosh, for a while. So I'm going to say I'm out for 12-teamers, 15-teamers. You can take a chance here. The Dodgers have also listed Emmett Sheehan's IL trip as right forearm inflammation, not shoulder soreness, which is a little scarier. So for those that were holding their breath about seeing Emmett Sheehan, you might have to hold it a little bit longer. I don't know if it's worthwhile. And lastly, the Mets officially listed Tyler McGill as their fifth starter, which is what we expected. It's not Jose Buto. He'll be in the minors. Though, if McGill does struggle out of the gate, which he absolutely could, it could be Jose Buto pretty quickly. Stackass games yesterday, they were on TV. Cole Irvin looked terrible. 3.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, 2 Ks. Velocity was back down to 92. 1 out of 75 whiffs. And I was considering him for an opening stream maybe that Tuesday against the Royals. The Tuesday or Wednesday? Yeah, no. I'm not going to do that one now. Chris Bassett on the other side. Yes, he was a tick down, but that's kind of typical. Also, he was 75% sinker cutter, which is very strange. Pretty much shows me that, oh yeah, Bassett really takes advantage of spring training. 3.1 innings, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks for Bassett. We're not going to read into this whatsoever. Ranger Suarez, 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's still down in velocity. Was about 1 to 2 ticks, mostly 2. He is hitting the edge as well. And it's a huge deal for Suarez. Is he in rhythm with his command? It does seem like he's there now. He does get Atlanta first. So we are absolutely not going after it. Also, it's too precarious of a situation. Suarez could be someone that gets into a Vargas role. And if he looks good early, you might just want to roll with that if he continues to have, or if he has matchups that you like where he can steal some wins, maybe get, you know, a quality start, that kind of thing. But for the most part, I'm avoiding Ranger Suarez right now. Lance Lynn went 3.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's 1 to 2 ticks down as well. It's likely a veteran holding back because he's saving bolts for the season. But there isn't anything else of interest, and yeah, I do not want to touch Lance Lynn. And Sean Manaea went 75% heaters across 5 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He's down to 93, which is fine. It's not like 90-91 like we have seen before. But it's not 94-95. And he's 1 for 16 whiffs across his secondaries. Sean Manaea, to me, is not the guy you want to trust. He is going to have games that are fine. his four seamer is generally good enough for strikes, but it's not this cool. I'm going to put this one inside. I'm going to put this one over here and put one over there. He's not like that. He's just like, yeah, let's just get it into the general area that's mostly upstairs, I guess. It's like, yeah, just general high lock, east, west doesn't matter with Shamanai, and it's really just not it for me. I don't want to play that game. Now, the last one that was on TV had StatCast was Jack Flaherty, and I waited until the end of the stream to go over this second to last one of the article. I am changing my viewpoint on Jack Flaherty. I needed to see more data. I needed to see more video. I needed to see it over about 70 pitches. I got all of that here. And what I'm seeing from Jack Flaherty is not a stud, is not like a guy who was a top 25 pitcher at a moment or so. Who he is, though, is someone throwing good strikes, or at least he isn't chaotic. That is, everything is around the zone. It's not, oh no, this is a terrible mistake pitch, and oh, I tugged this one too far over here. And like, I've seen a lot of strikes and plots in my days that are more of a shotgun blast of everything. That's not Jack Flaherty. He has intent with getting his four-seamer in the zone for strikes and then sliders down for strikes and down a little bit more off the plate. But that's about it. I mean, there was a curveball or two in there. There was maybe a few changeups, but it's really four-seamers and sliders. The slider does look good. The four-seamer is a bit dead zone with movement. However, he is relatively flat. That is, it's above average, like 1.2 as opposed to 1. On the, I know guys, height adjusted vertical approach angle. I understand. I gotta just like have one simple term for you and know what I mean with that. I guess the pitch's attack angle. I don't know. Is it flat or steep? Okay. You want flat. And then don't think of flat as movement. Think of it as its path to the plate. We cool? Good. And then its extension's really good. It's 7 feet. So then the other conversation is the velocity. So Flaherty last year was like 92, 93, and then at times would showcase 94, 95. When we saw earlier on in spring, he was at 95. But what we saw here was a range from 91 to 97, and he sat 94. And that's okay with me, because Flaherty is saving bullets. Like, he's actually doing what you're supposed to do as a pitcher, is ramping up during plate appearances, not going 100%, going more 90%. So I think that's good. The problem is Jack Flaherty's four-seamer can get hit if it's in the zone too often. And I ding Logan Gilbert a lot for this, because he needs to actually get his pitch upstairs, and he doesn't. He keeps it more middle. But I also have Logan Gilbert still in my top 30, right? Jack Flaherty, it's a worse version of Logan Gilbert. And actually, that's kind of where I'm at right now. He is a worse Logan Gilbert, because I think he is going to go like six innings a ton. I think the four-seamer is going to get hit a lot more, and there isn't really too much depth to it. I think it's a worse four-seamer. Same kind of approach with it, and the slider is kind of is pretty similar to Logan Gilbert's. There you go. That is valuable, though, and I think that Jack Flaherty is going to be going six innings a fair amount, and it's not going to be the worst thing ever. It's going to be a little volatile. It might be cherry bomb-esque a bit. He's not going to be like a 25 to 30% strikeout rate. But he has potential of being a Holly. And so you see Reese Olson versus Jack Flaherty. I had Reese Olson higher because I said, well, I like the slider and I like the changeup. And the sinker, I think, is just a generally good strike pitch. But he doesn't have the track record that Flaherty does. And also, Flaherty has a larger leash. There is more consistency, I think, with Flaherty's slider. And he's generally throwing more strikes. Like, he's going to likely be a lower walk guy than Reese Olson. So I'm going to have Flaherty higher than Reese Olson at this point. And I'm probably going to have Flaherty around like 58 or something like that, or 60. Like, I want to go and chase the higher ceiling guys. Like, I want AJ Puck more, right? I want Matt Manning more. I think Matt Manning is a better version of Jack Flaherty. However, Reese Olson is going to be a little bit lower. I can see him off my team quickly. I guess to see Jack Flaherty off my team very quickly. Like, Jared Jones is an interesting one. Same with Luis Gil. That's a higher ceiling for those guys, but they can be off your team quicker, while Flaherty could just kind of stick around all year. Deeper leagues, I'm a little bit more in on Flaherty, because he's going to stick around likely in that rotation doing this kind of thing. This is also me reading a spring training start. I also do want to emphasize that, let's say Flaherty is the SP2 or the SP3 for the Tigers, which we expect. That is opening weekend against the White Sox, which is great. And then you get the Athletics after that. That's a really good situation to be in. So all around there, I'm much more in on Flaherty than I was before. I just needed to see more video and I needed to see more data. And I'm glad that we got it. I'm glad we got in on this before the season began. I'm going to have him much higher on my list update tomorrow. All right, moving on to games that were on StatCast but not on TV. It's going to be the Marlins and Cardinals and then the Guardians and Rockies. I'm going to talk about that. And of course, all the other games that had no StatCast data after this break. Yonny Chirinos won 3.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. He's going to be subbing in that SP5 spot for the Marlins with Hoeing and Smelter. And I'd honestly expect this more than Max Meyer, which is annoying if you're a Marlins fan. And they need to win every game, and that's a really good argument for Max Meyer. But I think this is just what the Marlins are going to do. So, yep. They just need to get through like 2 games, because then Braxton Garrett will be back. Kyle Gibson, 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. That's Kyle Gibson, and we move on. Dakota Hudson actually had a very interesting game. 4.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He's in Coors. We're not going to do it. I will mention, Hudson looked great. He threw sinkers perfectly arm side and off the plate, and then he also had his slider dotted down and away. He had 6 whiffs on that with a 50-plus percent CSW. This is the best version of Hudson, but that's still sinker slider, and it's Coors, and it's not consistent. And I actually had one of my best early jokes of the year inside of the roundup, and you should read it. Lastly, we had Jaime Barria, 2.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Him and Carrasco and Tyler Beede and Zaven Curry and Hunter Gaddis are all just going to be maybe in that little mix while Gavin Williams is on the IL, but he'll be on the IL till like April 9th or something like that. Like, don't worry too much about it. Jaime Barria is not something you should care about. With the Rays and Red Sox, you have some similar situation like the Marlins and the Guardians, where Tyler Alexander is going to be part of a little collection of guys doing Rays shenanigan things. And he looked good here. 5 innings of 1 earned run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. TLX, great job, buddy. But I don't want to trust this whatsoever. Also, I don't think he'll really go 5 innings. I think it'll be like 4 as a bulk guy with some other randos on the Rays. I had it in my head before who he would be pairing it with. Wagus Pack. There you go. Yeah, not fun. If you can plan it out correctly, if there is an opener and TLX comes in, I can understand trying to vulture a win. TLX is not that good. Sorry, Tyler Alexander. Carter Crawford is the other one I really watched because I haven't really done a good update of Carter Crawford. It's very interesting. There are guys that I just look at the numbers and I say, okay, cool. These are the things that are very intriguing to me. Also, as I look at more numbers, I get more familiar with what is good with a four-seamer, even more and more so, and also what complements it better. And then also if their command is actually good or not. So Carter Crawford, we watch this as a crew here on Playback. And by the way, you should be on playback.tv/pitcherlist. We're trying to make this actually a community that is just always watching baseball. And in season, when baseball is happening, just go to our channel. You're going to be able to hang out with a chat that is going to be watching and monitoring the game as well. Even if I'm not there, we will be having baseball games on the channel. So go check it out. Playback.tv/pitcherlist. If you are a baseball fan, treat it like your free MLB network. It is awesome. Carter Crawford, 5.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. So I don't really love the approach here of the first inning for Carter Crawford, where it was four seamers that with intent were like middle at 0-2. Like, why are you doing that? And what do you know? It's a base hit after the guy just swung out of his shoes, swinging at a slider that looked like a fastball down the middle. So great. You just gave him the pitch you wanted. And of course he got a hit. It's annoying. I know how good you are, Carter Crawford, if you don't have that intent. And he changed it, actually. Props to him. Final 4.2 innings was really easy. Both his runs came in that first inning. And the four-seamer was really successful for Crawford last year because he has a lot of vert on it. It's 18 inches of vert, which is great. That is 80th plus percentile. You love to see that. It's not super flat. It's like, oh, it's 1, which is average, right? You see 1.0 on height-adjusted vertical approach angle. 1 is average, which means that if you are really upstairs, like, it will be good enough, right? That's cool. Extension's terrible. 6.2 extension. And 93 last year for the fastball on Carter Crawford doesn't really look like that's any different. So keep in mind that really the only exceptional thing on this four-seamer, and we liked it with a PLV of 5.3 last year for Carter Crawford's four-seamer because he was good at locating it upstairs and he had this induced vertical break. But it does mean that his fastball looks more like 91, 92. And if he doesn't get that upstairs properly, it could be very hittable middle, right? Middle or lower. And it's very important that he does keep that upstairs, because that becomes 91, really. So he has to pull off the Bailey Oberizzi, essentially, for this to work. That said, it was 40% four-seamers last year. And in those 4.2 innings after, I think Cutter Crawford started to focus less on four-seamers and start using his cutter more, his slider more, his curveball. Actually saw some split changeups, I believe that is. Lovely stuff. So much better after that. It makes me interested in Cutter Crawford through about 70 pitches, which means the next one's about 75 to 80. And then he's ready around 85 or so for his first start of the year. That's good. Cutter Crawford is someone I'm certainly targeting in my leagues. And also his first start of the year is good as it is with all of the Boston Red Sox. He's going to get at Safeco and at the Angels, while you're going to have Whitlock and Houck at Seattle and the Angels as well. Brian Bayo, there you go. There's the one. Brian Bayo is going to be getting the Athletics in his first start, which is very nice. It's just two, I believe, four Athletics to kick off the year, which is kind of strange. I apologize. It's four for Seattle, and then that means that Bayo gets the second or the first start against Oakland as well. Don't worry about it. Cutter Crawford, likely going to get the Angels. Cool. Great. Awesome. So moving on to other guys from yesterday's games, we have Yuri Rodriguez, 3 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. You're like, who is that? I know. I haven't talked about him at all. He throws hard. Last year, he threw 97, but he has bad extension, bad vert, and well, not vert, but it's like pretty mid, like average to below average extension, vert, and height adjusted VAA. So I'm not really that excited. I mean, slightly above average flatness on the fastball, but I don't think it helps him. And his slider is, it's like a cutter, like a sweeping cutter. Nah, I shouldn't say that. It's all sweep, no drop. 99th percentile in vertical break, which is essentially saying it does not drop. It just goes to the left. So not great. This was a little bit more impressive, though, and I watched some strikeouts with him. He did get sliders down and in to left-handed batters as a righty, which is really cool. This is for Texas, by the way, the Texas Rangers, Yuri Rodriguez. And maybe that is a little bit different of a slider this year that has more depth. I'm bringing him up because Cody Bradford is the SP5 right now with Jose Urania as SP6. We might see Yuri Rodriguez as the SP7. He throws hard, has a decent changeup I saw, I think, once or twice, and a slide that might be better. There might be something. The velocity itself does open the door, but the fact that the shape of it doesn't look that appealing means it might be a little more smoke and mirrors. We only saw him for 14 innings the last year. I'm just very curious when we get data on Yuri Rodriguez. Hunter Green, 4.1 innings of 700 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He's apparently just like trying to throw strikes and stuff, and I guess it wasn't that good with those strikes. I watched some of it. I mean, I'm not in on Hunter Green. There was so much hoopla about the curve and splitter and... No, man, he needs a cutter to throw strikes with, because his heater is more hittable than you want it to be, especially when it's not upstairs. If it's not upstairs, then it's just, no. You have to throw a cutter, and then you have the slider also. Like, that's how it works if you're Hunter Green. Or a really good changeup, but he's not going to have that. Sorry, the splitter is not going to be that good. Reed Detmers, 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. If you remember my love for Reed Detmers, how could you forget? Over the last 2 years, in 2022 and 2023, Detmers' slider was the main thing that was just, oh my gosh, you throw a fastball up and in to right-handers, and then you have a slider, gyro slider underneath it. It's what Luzardo does. Cole Reagans does that. It's one of my favorite things to see lefties do. Thing is, the slider goes in and out, and Detmers is a worse Luzardo, where the changeup is such a big thing for Luzardo. Detmers doesn't have a changeup like that. The curveball's also there. It's not that good. The slider also disappears in season for Detmers, and it's just, I don't trust the Angels to get it back. They fired their good coaches. I'm glad that it's working right now in these two outings. I really hope that Detmers actually has a great year. I think the four-seamer is really bad when it comes to the pitch shape, and it needs to be precisely located like Luzardo. It's also a tick slower than Luzardo's. So yeah, Reed Detmers is a worse Jesus Luzardo, and I'm just not a fan of that. Jose Suarez is also there with the Angels, went 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs. He's going to be an option for the Angels as their SP6 or 7. Jose Soriano is as well. Suarez is a very desperate stream when he gets an opportunity. I don't want to go for that. As I mentioned, Eduardo Rodriguez, he went an inning and was pulled with lat tightness, and that's just unfortunate. Kyle Hendricks, 4.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. it's control focused with him, or really command focused, you don't want to put yourself in the situation with Hendricks. Just monitor if he's having a Vargas rule, and that's it. In matchups, I guess. And Seth Lugo, 4 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Not that great. He was a Toby last year, hinting at a Holly-ish, like 21% strikeout rate or so. Maybe this works with the Royals. Not terrible. He has a good matchup, if I remember correctly, out of the gate. It's the Twins and it's the White Sox. Not something I'm running over hurdles for. But maybe that one against the White Sox, just keep an eye on him as a possible streamer. I really don't think that you're going to pump your fist at the end of the year that you drafted Seth Lugo. I just don't think there's enough in the repertoire to really make him sing. Last couple ones here, we have Colin Ray, disappointing outing, 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs. I really want him to keep soaring because he did really well again. He did really well a couple times in spring, and I was kind of hoping there was something new going on. But no, I mean, after I saw the previous story, I kind of thought that it was smoke and mirrors, and yeah, it kind of looks like that. He's going to be in the rotation at least, so at least pay attention. Logan Allen's also in the rotation. We haven't talked at all about him. He's just a command guy. He's a Toby at best, and he gets at Seattle, and that's not the worst start to begin the year. 5 innings of 3 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. And I had a really good talk with Eno yesterday. He mentioned that Kai Correa has been working with the infield defense of the Guardians. And it made me realize that Kai Correa was the guy with the Giants. And that's why the Giants had a really good infield defense. And then those pitchers had that really good year. And maybe if the Guardians have the better infield defense now, that means that I should be more in on Logan Allen and Gavin Williams and Tristan McKenzie and even Tanner Bibee. And I'm realizing that I should probably have Tanner Bibee a little bit higher in my ranks. Probably going to pull back Pivetta in mine a little bit. Going to have Bibee over Sally Cutter Crawford. I think he already is. But closer to that Bailey Ober-esque tier, right? With Joe Ryan and Logan Gilbert. It just makes sense to me that even though Tanner Bibee, I'm still kind of questionable on all the command stuff. If it's a good infield defense behind him, that could work out. And same with Logan Allen. So don't rule it out against Seattle, the first start of the year, if you need a stream there. He's the fourth starter for the Guardians at this point, and that could be a win. Austin Gomber went and 8 earned runs in 2.1 innings. Cole Starry, bro. That's my joke I'm going to use the entire year for the Colorado starters. Casey Lawrence went opposite that for the Mariners. 3 innings of 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. He's going to be the SP 6 or 7 for the Mariners this year with Emerson Hancock likely. Maybe I remember there was a prospect pitcher, Evans. I think it's Logan Evans. I got to remember the first name. I haven't gotten a chance to watch him or anything yet, but I've heard some hoopla about him. So pay attention to that. AJ Puck. And by the way, Casey Lawrence, we don't care. AJ Puck and Brandon Bielak went opposite each other last ones here. Puck, 5.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 0 walks, wonderful. 8 strikeouts, wonderful. Solid lineup, wonderful. Yeah, this was good. We're all cool to go. And also 5+ innings, wonderful for AJ Puck. Great. He's being stretched out. He can do this. Yeah, get AJ Puck. It's a wonderful opening schedule with the Pirates and the Angels, at the very least. That's a perfect kind of flyer you want to take. And Brandon Bielak, four innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He's making the mix of like Ronel Blanco, then Spencer Arrighetti, and Bielak. I think it's going to be Arrighetti and Blanco first, but maybe we see some Bielak and whatever. I don't want Bielak in there. It's going to be Verlander for not too long. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening through the end. And make sure, please, leave a rating or review on iTunes. I cannot emphasize enough how far that goes for this individual feed. Remember, all of the podcasts that you hear on the Fantasy Baseball podcast feed have their own individual feed. If you don't want all of them at once, you can just get the podcast that you want, including this one, and leaving a rating review on that feed is so, so helpful. So thank you all so much for doing that. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.